Hey guys, Jack here, back with Jack's Riddle once again. Now this one's short and sweet, so listen carefully. The more places I be, the less you can see. What am I? Well, before the next break, I'll clue you in. This is Jack, and this is Tunes. That was the riddle. For us, at least. This is Tunes on the Trending Topics Network. My name is Jack, and as always, I have my co-pilot, Brian. Brian, how are things going at Tunes East?
At Tunes East is busy, busy, busy. I got a six-day work week I'm in the middle of. I actually have to go out to work tonight, as it's Friday. And then tomorrow is piano lessons and softball and trying to figure out everything that got neglected throughout the week.
Dream. That sounds amazing. And if you're a first-time listener, you'll know that Brian's kids are older, my kids are younger, so everything Brian brings up like this just scares the bejesus out of me to think that, yes, not too long from now, I'll be at dance recitals and piano recitals and softball games and
it's
everything
terrible.
Else that comes with being a father, raising children, but, you know, I guess you just have to sit back and try to remember that it's all about them. It's all about them kids, right, Brian?
That's right. And we're actually going with this kind of a shorter show this week because, you know, we're still recovering from the Tunes 8000, which is 8,000 different sports in one show.
Yes, not the 8,000th episode, but, yeah.
Yeah. But either way, I was still recovering from that. We're actually going to be talking a little bit of fun stuff. We figured we'd take the time to update on everybody, like everybody on some of the things that are going on in the world right now, because there's a lot of craziness going on in the world, and we like to keep it lighthearted, and so we might as well make fun of some of the stuff that's going on in the world. So we're going to do that today. Plus, we have a little bit of news breaking. We've got Young Patrick out on the scene doing some news stuff, who is my son, obviously, the co-host of the Waka Waka Gaming Podcast.
He is. The boy, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time, basically. We're going to try to have a good time, at least. And keep it lighthearted and fun. Either way, should we get right into it?
I think we shall, Brian. And, you know, speaking of them kids, yeah, our first story is about them darn kids.
It is. It is. Do you want to go into it, or would you rather I did?
Oh, sorry. You know, it's from the mirror. That's the United Kingdom, Brian. Our British listeners will know what I'm talking about. It has been reported that Kazakhstan says SpongeBob SquarePants is a violent bully who corrupts children's minds. And all I got to say to the mirror is, how long did it take Kazakhstan to figure that out?
Yeah.
You know, honestly. I mean, SpongeBob, we all know he's the square of all evil, and to be honest with you, there is something kind of deep-seated, dark about that show.
And in reality, though, SpongeBob isn't much different than anything else that's ever been on TV. You look at people like Wile E. Coyote and Yosemite Sam and all these guys, these cartoon characters from the past, I mean, Yosemite Sam actually shot at people. You got Elmer Fudd, who was always trying to hunt down Bugs Bunny. The Animaniacs were crazy violent with all kinds of crazy just hijinks and stuff like that they would do. Kazakhstan is kind of backwards, I guess, a little behind the curve. You might say when it comes to the cartoon cultural development, I guess you could say. But would you call SpongeBob a bully?
Well, you know, they refer to it more, they're talking about the violence of it. And I think they're missing the point. It's not so much that he's the bully, he's just the boob. you know, most of the stuff he does is not to intentionally hurt anybody. It's because of his own plain ignorance and stupidity that anything ever happens. All the bad things that happen around him that he, you know, like it's like he's always walking away from the explosion, unwittingly knowing, you know, that he had, you know, caused a problem for the others around him. He's not such a bully. He's an idiot.
Yeah, and if you wanted to say that there was a bully in it, it'd be Squidward. Squidward's kind of the bully.
He's the bully.
Yeah.
I mean, Patrick's the... I mean, yeah, Patrick's Patrick, but yeah.
Or even the Plankton guy. He's kind of violent. He's...
He's a fooled mastermind.
Yeah.
And then you got... Oh, then you got...
He's so funny.
Know, Mr. Krabs, he's, you know, pinching all the pennies, holding down the... You know, keep it, trying to keep the regular Joe down. So he might be the bully of them all.
Yeah, and just reading, like, the different statements from Zabira or Zalevia or whatever, the chairman of the Committee for the Protection of Children's Rights in Kazakhstan, I wonder if she's actually literally watched the show at all, like even a single minute. Because one of the things she said is we witnessed how SpongeBob regularly inflicts violence on others in his community and seems to enjoy what he does. Is it possible that they're getting the characters mixed up?
Definitely.
I mean, because it just doesn't make... Because he never regularly inflicts violence.
No.
Unless you're talking about dropping a rock on Patrick, but really that's like closing the door for him, because that's his house. They had a snowball fight one time, I remember that. But most of the time, he's just trying to protect the Krabby Patty recipe, and that's all he wants to do is make Krabby Patties.
All to do is make Krabby Patties, Brian. You know, and that right there is, it's a great message, but a terrible message at the same time. You know, it's like, in one sense, you should be trying to, you know, have dreams and goals, but at the same time, I guess his dreams and goals are so low, he's happy, he's reached them. So, happy and sad all at once. That's the complex of SpongeBob.
Yeah, it's very weird, and I'm just looking, like, I'm trying to figure out exactly the way this person is thinking. It just says, the grim-faced officials from the ministry stopped short of banning foreign TV channels which do broadcast SpongeBob, as the cartoon is also shown on YouTube and other social media sites, obviously, because it's awesome-ish. I'm a fan of most of the episodes. Some of them I'm just like, eh, whatever. But she actually said Kazakh parents should not allow their children to watch the SpongeBob SquarePants cartoon. So they're not willing to ban it outright, but they're strongly suggesting that Kazakh parents not allow the kids to watch it. Which is kind of weird, because you can make these suggestions, but how often does the government actually have some kind of influence on whether they don't watch it if they're not actually going to enforce it? I mean, it sounds like, kind of like a guideline, but a very harshly worded guideline. What I am interested in is at the bottom of the article in the mirror.co.uk news is a poll. Is SpongeBob a violent menace to the minds of our kids? Now, I'm going to see if they actually post the results here. So I am clicking no because I don't believe that it actually is. And when you click no, I am actually in agreement with 80% of the readership of Mirror.uk. So apparently most people...
They've been brainwashed. Yeah, brainwashed. That's exactly... That proves it. That proves it. It's brainwashing.
Yeah. So what's causing... Like, what do you think a socially acceptable Kazakh cartoon would be like?
Let's think about this. Man, I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. Because every cartoon has seems to have... It's slapstick, so what's a non-slapstick cartoon? I can't think of any.
Neither can I. And that's the thing. I mean, what, Captain Planet?
I guess.
Maybe Captain Planet would fit in their guidelines? But even they had, like, some violent stuff to it.
Mm-hmm. I guess Dumbo? Like, flying
Dumbo
elephant?
Maybe. Captain, yeah. Not to sound racist or anything, but Captain Caveman. But even he was violent.
Captain Caveman.
Yeah, because I literally cannot think of a single cartoon that had zero violence in it.
No.
Or violence often. Maybe that Great Race?
My Little Pony?
My Little Pony? So, yeah.
Maybe that's the thing over there.
They could send all the bronies over there.
Yeah.
And they could produce My Little Pony episodes. Or Barbie.
I think we're on to something.
But then that's Kazakhstan, so I don't know how their religious traditions would go against Barney. Or Barbie, rather. Or the brony culture.
Yeah.
They would undoubtedly pop up. I mean, if they were only allowed to watch My Little Ponies, that would be the inevitable end to that meme, wouldn't it?
I would say so.
So that's dangerous. Kazakhstan, don't do it, just reform. That's the Toon's advice for Kazakhstan, because you know they're listening.
Don't do it. Reform.
Don't do it at all.
Save yourselves.
Yeah. Well, moving on, we're going to go to our second article of the day here. One of the things about society today is there's a lot of families that are breaking up, unfortunately. And that's actually not something
terrible
to really be joked about, in all reality. However, again, from the Mirror in the UK, they asked a very interesting question, which I feel that we should discuss right now.
Okay, let's do it.
What happens to the dog if you get divorced?
I would say, you know, somebody should just... I'm sure the wife would probably want it more often than not. But the man would fight for it just to get something, and he'll probably end up with the dog.
Yeah.
If he wants it.
And what is it? King Solomon would order the dog cut in half, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I got some good stew.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Apparently, in the UK, there are now prenuptial agreements for pets.
Is that for who gets stuck with it or who has a lot out of happiness?
Yeah. And it's really kind of funny because they show, like, the saddest animals in this article.
Yeah.
And they're captioned with, "Divorces can be just as traumatic for animals as they are for people." And I'm sure maybe in a way they are. I know our dog is not necessarily always handling the death of our other dog very well.
Yeah.
And you can tell that she sort of misses. So I'm sure that that's kind of a thing.
Yeah, I believe it.
But according to the article, a lot of couples now sign a prenuptial agreement to decide how their assets will be divided in the event of a divorce, but pets are often forgotten.
Yes, I bet.
A dog is for life, but sometimes a marriage isn't. Well, that's part of the problem right there.
Yeah. That's being broken.
Yeah. And the Blue Cross in the UK takes in 4 pets a week that have been abandoned after a relationship breaks down. Now, this is kind of a short-sighted thing, because why would you just give up the animal?
Yeah, I don't know. Who would do that? Unless it causes you so much pain to be with it.
Yeah.
Or just nobody wants it anymore, I don't know.
Yeah, it makes zero sense. I mean... Yeah, you know what? Maybe you won't necessarily agree, but when you go through a divorce, one of the things that has to happen anyway is you have to go to freaking court with the person, so decide it then. And it doesn't make sense. You're like, oh, well, we're getting divorced, so we're just going to get rid of our animal, and we're just going to take them to a shelter. Well, they will either be picked up by somebody else who's caring enough to do so, or they'll be put down eventually. So way to go. You've just doomed your pet, who had absolutely nothing to do with your divorce or your relationship breaking up, and you're just going to say, well, screw that, I'm getting rid of them too. I'm sure
that's a pretty lame way out.
Yeah. I'm sure there's certain situations, probably, that, you know, like, you're moving into an apartment that doesn't allow pets. But sure. Even then, it seems like that would be sort of a temporary problem with a permanent solution, which is get rid of the animal.
Yeah, I mean, we faced kind of that issue a little bit when we got here, but, you know, obviously they made the change of rules for us, but, you know, yeah, it's a tough decision because, you know, pets are forever, but they're also, they can't hold your life back from major change.
Yeah. And I never understood prenuptial agreements anyway. Unless you had, like, multi-million dollar assets when you go into that marriage, why would you actually set one up? But in this instance, it's kind of an interesting thing because a pet is kind of different because you are responsible for that little life that sometimes we don't actually consider to be kind of a life, I guess. I'm probably not saying that right. But the thing is, it's called the Pet Nup Contract. And it is a legal document, at least in Britain, UK, drawn up by the lawyers of Lloyd Platt and Company Limited. And you can actually download that for free on the Blue Cross website. So, by all means, do a quick search for the Pet Nup, and you'll be able to find this prenuptial agreement about the animals. Parties can decide whether pets will spend different days with each of them in the event of a split, as with children in divorce settlements. Because they are part of the family, apparently. And it is hoped that this contract will prevent unnecessary stress to the animal as well as the parties involved. Okay. I mean, I can follow that. I understand why they would do it.
It's just a pet.
Yeah. It's kind of odd.
Can't that be a civil agreement? But same time, I guess there could be issues there.
Yeah. Oh, here's
people get petty, you know. And
did you see the stats near the bottom? Because this one actually kind of shocks me. According to a study by the Blue Cross, when Brits split up, it's usually 56% of the time the wife or the girlfriend will get the pet.
Really? Well, yeah, that makes sense. Kind of like a kid, almost.
Yeah. And just under a third of men, at 29%, actually retain full ownership. Very unusual. Very unusual.
I'd agree with that. I mean, you know, but it's like the kids and everything else. You know, if the wife is going, if the kids are going with the wife, they're probably taking the dog. Man's more likely wanting to be single, doing his thing, on the prowl, newly divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need no dog holding him back.
Nice.
But could use it for, you know, getting chicks.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at a different angle here.
Maybe the Brits don't realize that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why men maybe fight for the baby more.
Yeah, but the men need to fight for the baby more because they need to have the woman make concessions on the finances.
Ooh, yeah, this is true.
You know, so they gotta go most they can, because they know, you know, in the end you're gonna get bent over anyway, so you might as well just try to make it as difficult from the start, you know. I'm just saying.
Another tune tip would be.
First, though. But if something was to happen, Brian, that's how it would go down.
Another tune tip would be that while a puppy might help you pick up chicks at the park, a potted plant necessarily won't. So you don't want to take a potted plant for a walk in the park to try to pick up chicks with it.
I guess you get a lot of, you know, so, a lot of hoses being drained on you there.
We're going to answer the question because I really like that the mirror.uk does this. They put the poll at the end of it, each of their articles. So I'm a big fan of that. So mirror.co.uk, I know you're listening. Thanks for that. So the question is, and I'll answer with whatever it is that you answer, would you sign a pet nup?
No.
And you are in the minority, my friend.
I like that. That's good. I'm not a follower. I'm not a turd. Everything is awesome.
According to this poll, which is strictly based on mirror.co.uk users, and in particular readers of this specific article, 65% of the readership would actually sign a PetNup, and only 35 would not. So, you find yourself in the minority.
Interesting.
Which also makes you racist, by the way.
Well, according actually, wouldn't you be the, so to speak, the man holding me down in this situation?
Ooh.
You know, I want it to be free reign for the pets. Let's fight over the cats and dogs.
I'm part of the majority who is evil.
You know, fight like cats and dogs to get the cats and dogs.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So then, or flying groundhogs.
Thus far, we have figured out that SpongeBob is evil for children and divorces are evil for pets. And we're already halfway done with this episode of Toons. Who knew? I kind of like the fast ones, especially since I have to work tonight. But either way, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. Because we do have breaking news, and I'm going to throw it over to Patrick right now. In the WWGN news team. So he's got a breaking news story, and then we'll be back right after this. This is Toons on the Trending Topics Network.
Thanks, Dad. The residents of Mushroom Kingdom are shaken this morning following the assault of a vacuum salesman in the home of a potential customer. The victim, Miyamoto Bowser, was attacked by a man who neighbors say appeared to be a pizza man, referring to himself as a Mario. The owner of the home, Peach Bedford, tells WWDN about the attack and describes how she was able to trick the deranged lunatic into leaving.
He charged into my home and just started jumping on that poor man's head. Jumping and jumping and jumping. He kept calling me princess and demanded my gratitude. I finally screamed, "Thank you, Mario," but told him that his princess was clearly in another castle. And then he just left.
Mr. Bowser remains hospitalized, and local authorities are asking that residents keep an eye out for the attacker, Mario, as the police are calling him, was last seen in Koopaville wearing a raccoon costume. For WWGN News and Waka Waka Gaming, .blogspot.com. I'm Patrick Blystone. Back to you, Dad.
Thank you, Patrick, and welcome back to Toons right here on the Trending Topics Network. I'm Brian, he's Jack, and we're going through with some of the crazy news that is going on in the world today. Article number 3, we're going to move on. I mean, obviously, we did the pet story, pet nuptial agreements, and we did the story on Kazakhstan actually telling parents of Kazakhstani children to not let their kids watch SpongeBob SquarePants. Jack, what's the next article on the plate?
Well, Ryan, from the New York Times, De Blasio's fault or not, fatal or not, groundhog had an early fall. Bum, bum, bum. That's right, Brian. We have groundhog controversy. And this is the dirt. I mean, TMZ did not get this. New York Times did. It's a sudden death. A mayor in yellow suede gloves. A fall? Or was it two that might have proved fatal? And a groundhog named Chuck until it wasn't.
Goodness gracious.
It's a pretty good lead-in by them. I like that. Well, Brian, I guess Mayor Bill de Blasio on Thursday stood accused of inadvertent rodenticide stemming from an episode in February when, amid the pageantry of Groundhog Day shadow viewing, the mayor dropped the star of the early morning event. Now, according to an article in the New York Post, Charles G. Hogg, known as Chuck to Staten Island Zoo visitors, died 1 week later of internal injuries that were consistent with a fall. Also, Chuck was in fact a female named Charlotte. The article alleged a cover-up by the zoo on both fronts.
Did Did they know this ahead of time, or was it after they performed the autopsy?
Oh, man, it sounds like the autopsy, you know, whenever the coroner got a look at that. He noticed some things that weren't consistent with a normal groundhog's death, Brian, and they may have been consistent with a fall. A fall from the hands of the mayor. Now the cover-up. I love a groundhog cover-up. I'm a sucker for it.
Unbelievable. And I'm just looking at this. First off, Charles G. Hogg sounds like maybe a distant relative of Boss Hogg from Dukes of Hazzard.
This is true.
Chuck was a female. Incredible! Incredible! So, murder or not? I guess that would be the first question.
Well, yeah, now they're saying that, you know, after the necropsy on, after she was found dead in her quarters on February 9th, a necropsy revealed sudden internal injuries, the zoo said, and that they might have been sustained overnight while in its exhibit.
In the exhibit?
Yeah, but still the zoo said the exact cause is not to be determined. And, I don't know, the state assemblyman Matthew J. Tatone of Staten Island offered the mayor a more complete exoneration. He said, in his words, the medical evidence, the science, simply is not there.
Unbelievable.
That's what he said. It's not possible for the mayor to have caused this by dropping the groundhog on accident. It's an accident. So why would you cover up an accident? Okay.
Or was it?
Dun, dun, dun. That was an evil groundhog.
So
actually,
I'm wondering if...
Sent to us by the ESIS. It's an ESIS groundhog. Sent through tunnels underground into the United States to eat its way from the outside, from the inside out, and destroy, you know, America. No. Chuck's an evil. They had to get rid of him. He had to be extinguished.
Unbelievable. And I guess the major question would be, how is this going to affect his re-election bid? And what of the family of Chuck or Charlotte, as it were? Does the city owe the Hogg family any kind of reparations or anything like that?
Well, you know, the mayor, you know, the mayor's administration, you know, acts like they didn't even know about this. So it's kind of like the Ray Rice tape. They're acting like they didn't know about the death. And everybody's saying, how did you not know about the death? Well, now the zoo's not even going to let the mayors hold the groundhogs anymore on Groundhog's Day.
Wow. I like how they likened Chucky Hogg, whatever, to Chuck G. Hogg. They likened him to Santa Claus in the article. Mr. Tatone said the zoo had also been right not to publicly discuss the animal's death until its hand was forced to this week. Quote, when you're talking about a celebrated icon, he began, noting that Chuck was an educational ambassador for Staten Island, do you really want to tell children Santa Claus died? As a kid, were you like into the whole Punxsutawney Phil? Or was it kind of like one of those things, oh, the teacher just told me he came out of the ground?
I don't know, Brian. I'm reading some of this, and it almost seems like it's got to be a story out of, like, The Onion at times.
Yeah, this is...
There's talk about the mayor being poor at softball. Should he ever have been allowed to hold it? He can't play first base. you know, it's interesting.
We will definitely keep up to date on this article, because this is something that we need to know the conclusion. I just don't think there's anything that we can do without finding out the conclusion to this. It's too big of a story.
This will continue next week.
Yeah, we'll find out more details.
Like Tunes Line.
All right.
Favors up Groundhog.
Moving on to our final article, because I do have to go to work very shortly.
This is a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one, and this needs to happen more often. According to the International Business Times, passenger shaming is a thing. Air travelers behaving badly are documented on social media. So, if you're changing a baby's diapers on the fold-out tray on the airplane, forget about it. Don't put your bare feet on the headrest that's in front of you, because somebody's head is on the other side of that freaking footrest, or headrest, rather. And then making the flight attendants pick up after you by throwing your shit everywhere. And I do say that because I've seen it happen. It's so damn annoying. Basically, you're stuck in a freaking tin can flying through the air. Be kind to each other, people. Do things that make sense. You're not in your own freaking house where you can do whatever you want. You're sharing that with, what, 150 other people on this flight for a couple hours? Either way, this is a website. A Rants of a Sassy Stew. She was a former cop, paramedic, a stay-at-home mom, and a know-it-all at doing the flight thing because of the fact that she was actually a former stewardess. So she decided to go on and, quote, she self-described on Instagram as, quote, photos of assholes taken by anonymous flight attendants and passengers from all over the world. Because it's not just you on that single flight to Dallas-Fort Worth that had this happen. It's everybody. This is like a thing now. Is that people are taking their apparently dirty diapers and putting them in the back pockets of the seats.
That's disgusting.
It is. It's completely gross. And if you do this kind of thing, you need to be publicly shamed. Just even beyond the grossness of it, the health thing. I mean, this is completely unhealthy to do this shit. You shouldn't put your feet right beside somebody's face or take your shirt off and go to sleep on the plane. What the hell is that?
Is this guy doing push-ups or is he sleeping, Brian?
Yeah.
See the guy laying face down? Is he doing push-ups or sleeping?
It's nuts. If I ever saw somebody do that kind of shit, like I've seen some people do things that are mildly irritating, but if you've got somebody that's out there just going to make a complete total ass and possibly affecting somebody, I mean, this is a whole new level.
Well, yeah, it totally sucks, you know. I mean, crying babies, that's just what it is, you know. I mean, anybody who has a kid knows it just sucks. You know, you want your kid to stop crying, but they won't, and nothing you can do to make it stop. So, but then again, like you said, yeah, you know, changing a diaper, that's disgusting, yeah, you know. Or, you know, people that, you know, don't obey the invisible barrier, you know, to do the lean, you know, like, you know, I'm the superior, I'm going to take up both armrests and then some, you know.
Yeah.
But that's why I try to get the window seat and somebody next to me, I know.
Then you can just zone out.
Yeah, but the people that lay around, like, you know, when you're waiting for your flight, and there's people, they got, you know, there's shit everywhere, they're laying around, you have to, like, step over their stuff.
Yeah, it's completely, you know. It's
like they live in the airport, like you come into their house. It ain't their house.
Here's what I don't understand. Because later in the article, apparently there's a whole group of people that are actually against public shaming, which is stupid. These people are idiots.
They're the worst. Because they're trying to stop it because they're habitual.
And that's
They're ignorant people and rude and...
That's what's really funny, though, because it's not the person that would actually do that kind of thing. Here's a quote. Embarrassing another person is a breach of etiquette, said Patricia Fitzpatrick of the Etiquette School of New York to IBT Times. So certainly, passenger shaming is rude. In fact, it's considered more rude than the act they are shaming.
Perhaps I can't believe that. I cannot believe that.
Yeah. Perhaps it would be better to quietly ask a person to refrain from what he or she is doing, or better still, ask a flight attendant to tell that person that what he or she is doing is offensive.
She made a good point. I guess if you have the ability to take a picture of it, why don't you have the ability to tell them to stop? Are you scared? Is it passive aggressive to shame? Kind of. It really is.
Yeah, and I think that she does have a point. But what happens when, as is seemingly more and more typical, the person just says, "Oh yeah, you want me to stop that? Screw you."
Yeah, they're already jerks, so you know that it's going to be difficult to get them to, you know, to politely like your request. I guess you could tell like a flight attendant, but chances are that person then will give you a dirty look and possibly be an asshole to you the rest of the flight.
Yeah. Either way, I think we actually should put a poll up on this, on the Tune site, because I do want to know what people think about this. So what I'm going to do is at the conclusion of this, when we publish this, I'm going to actually include a poll And I want to know what everybody else thinks about whether passenger shaming is rude itself or whether it's completely 100% justified. Because I do want to know what our loonies think in this case. But either way, I actually really do have to get going here because right now it is 10 after 10 and I've got to be awake at 11.
So, all right, well, it was a great show. And Cardinals losing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be good.
You can find Jack on the Twitter machine, at ToonsJack. You can find me, at ToonsBrian. You can find us, at ToonsShow, and at ToonsShow.blogspot.com. Be sure to do all those things. This is Toons, and until next week, have a great week, and we'll see you then.
Soon.
Soon, too.
On Toons.
All right, take it easy, everybody.
Alright, Loonies, here we are at the break of the show, and I'm here to give you the answer to this week's Jack's Riddle. Now, one more time. The more places I be, the less you can see. What am I? The answer is the darkness. The darkness. Alright, well, that was Jack's Riddle for this week, and keep enjoying tunes, you Loonies, and we'll see you next time.